Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's Donna Marie Doherty with the news at 5:30. First, a look at today's main headlines. An appeal has been lodged into the case of a man jailed for the murder of Donegal woman Danielle McLaughlin in India. ICWA has published a report today following a comprehensive investigation of Amaze Ireland, the parent company of 24 nursing homes across the country. The HSE says rising medical interventions during pregnancy and childbirth in Letterkenny reflect a changing profile among expectant mothers. And a man arrested in connection with the murder of Marion Beattie in Tyrone has been released on bail. These stories in full, plus more to follow. Mark Gallagher has all the latest in sport and farming news and views with Chris Ashmore after the obituary notices. First in news, an appeal has been lodged in the case of a man jailed for the murder of Donegal woman Danielle McLaughlin in India. Danielle was 28 when she was killed and raped while travelling in Goa in March of 2017. Her family have spent years fighting for justice following her death. Vigit Bhagat was handed a life sentence last February, and a hearing of his appeal was adjourned in India earlier today. ICWA has published a report today following a comprehensive investigation of Amaze Ireland, the parent company of 24 nursing homes across the country. Two of the centres under its umbrella were the subject of an RTE Investigates programme, which depicted unacceptable care practices in two of those nursing homes. ICWA inspectors took risk-based inspections of both nursing homes and also undertook a targeted programme of inspections of all the other nursing homes under the Amaze umbrella. Three of them are located in Donegal. Donal Kavanagh has more.
The three Donegal nursing homes under the Amaze Ireland umbrella are Beech Hill Manor in Fawn and Brindley Manor and Brentwood Manor, both in Convoy. None of the three Donegal facilities featured on the programme, and no claims or allegations have been made about any of them. In the reports published today, one non-compliance in the area of premises was found at Beech Hill Manor following an inspection in December, with a November inspection at Brindley Manor also identifying one non-compliance, again in the area of premises. The latest Brentwood Manor inspection, also in November, identified three non-compliances in the areas of premises, personal possessions and governance and management. Following the three inspections, registration restrictions were imposed on all three centres. In the cases of Beech Hill and Brindley Manor, they have all been removed. A restriction at Brentwood Manor relating to premises remains in place. Full details and links to all the relevant reports available on our website, highlandradio.com.
The HSE says rising medical interventions during pregnancy and childbirth reflect a changing profile among expectant mothers. It comes as almost half of first-time births in Letterkenny University Hospital were induced. With more, here's Eamon Torsney.
The HSE says maternity services in the Northwest are facing increasing complexity due to rising maternal age and higher rates of conditions such as obesity and diabetes in pregnancy. In a statement to Highland Radio, the HSE says these factors mean more women require enhanced monitoring and care during pregnancy. It says up to May 2026, the induction rate for first-time mothers at Letterkenny University Hospital is 48.6%, broadly in line with the national average of 48.4%. The cesarean section rate for first-time mothers is 43.7%, slightly below the national average of 44.3%. The HSE says improving women's experience of maternity care remains a priority, with a focus on choice, informed decision making and respectful individualised care.
A man arrested in connection with the murder of Marion Beattie in the north has been released on bail. The 18-year-old's body was found at the bottom of a quarry near Auchnacloy in County Tyrone in March 1973. Hours after she went to a charity dance nearby. Police arrested a man in his 70s this morning, but he's been released to allow for further inquiries. A memorial will shortly be unveiled in Inishowen this evening to mark 1 year since a mother and daughter lost their lives in a road traffic collision. Park says Natalie McLaughlin and her young daughter Ella will be remembered as missed and loved beyond words. The memorial bench at Pullen Park will be opened to the public from 6 o'clock this evening. It comes exactly 1 year after the fatal crash in Inishowen. 96% of female TDs and senators have experienced online violence. 2/3 have changed their social media behaviour as a result. Research by Women for Election shows 71% of female elected representatives have received threats targeting themselves or people close to them, while 63% have experienced sexualised violence. Chair of the Irish Women's Parliamentary Caucus, Senator Alison Cumann, says the hate targeting women in these positions is different to those aimed at their male peers.
It seems to be a lot more prevalent. It seems to be a lot more personal. And we're also talking along the lines of threats of sexual violence, threats against their family, comments on their physical appearance, which there's just no call. There's no room for that in political life.
An Inishowen councillor says Ireland must be more assertive in defending national interests as it takes on a key European leadership role. Councillor Jack Murray was in Brussels as Ireland officially assumed the presidency of the Council of the European Union, a meeting of a number of EU representatives, including the Belgian ambassador to Ireland. He says the presidency should not be about being the best boys in the class, but about actively pushing Ireland's priorities at a European level. Councillor Murray also says Donegal should benefit from positive discrimination in the allocation of EU funding.
I think too much we've just been the best boys in the class and done what the EU has told us to do, but we should use this opportunity to deliver for Ireland. We need to deliver on housing, on regional development, on our infrastructure. So while we have the levers of power in the European Union, I think it has to benefit the people, of course, of the entire island of Ireland and Donegal in particular. So I made that case very clearly here, and I hope that those out here will listen to that.
You did have engagements with members across different nations. How do you get them to understand the challenges facing such a unique area like Donegal?
Yeah, look, I've been here with an Irish delegation from across the island, but unfortunately, and it's, you see it quite regularly, most of the representatives that have travelled out here have been from the southern half of the country, so I was the only voice on behalf of the northern half of the country, which is the most deprived, most underinvested, and most forgotten part of the country. So I wanted to use that opportunity to make it clear that Donegal does need positive discrimination.
Concerns have been raised that some homes in Donegal may be missing bin collections because waste operators are refusing to travel to certain local roads. Donegal County Council's waste management team is now set to investigate the issue. Councillor Martin Scanlon says he's been made aware of cases where collections have not been carried out due to the condition of roads, with similar issues previously flagged in Mean Glass. Speaking on this morning's Greg Hughes show, he outlined one reason he's been told operators are reluctant to travel.
And I do believe it's a commercial decision that's been made by these companies not to use it. And again, one of the reasons was given that the driver didn't feel competent driving on the road. And it's up to these companies to ensure that their drivers are competent as part of any risk assessment will be carried out.
Met Éireann has published its monthly climate statement highlighting weather trends recorded across the country. At Malin Head Weather Station, June brought a number of notable records. The station recorded the highest number of wet days nationwide, with the rain falling on 21 days during the month. It also recorded the country's highest daily sunshine total, with 15.5 hours of sunshine on Saturday the 20th. Highlighting the unsettled conditions, Malin Head also recorded the lowest mean monthly temperature in the country at 13.7 degrees Celsius, 1 degree above the long-term average. Police in Derry are appealing for information after wreaths were stolen from a war memorial in the city centre. PSNI say 4 wreaths were taken from the centretaph at the Diamond last night between 9:45 and 10:10. A male suspect was seen running in the direction of Butcher Street shortly afterwards. The incident's been treated as a sectarian hate crime, and police are urging anyone with information to come forward. 3 separate lifeboat call-outs in just 10 days have highlighted the importance of safety checks for boat users in Donegal waters. Lough Swilly RNLI says its all-weather lifeboat was launched 3 times between June 23rd and 27th after vessels suffered mechanical failures. In total, 24 people were brought to safety after crews were tasked by Malin Head Coast Guard were diverted from training to respond. In all 3 incidents, the lifeboat crew established a tow and brought the vessels to safe harbour. The RNLI is now urging boat users to carry out proper maintenance checks, to plan ahead and ensure they have reliable means of calling for help if needed. An Inishowen councillor says people should not be prevented from pier jumping, describing it as a long-standing part of coastal life. It follows the installation of railings at Port na Blaa aimed at discouraging the activity, which has traditionally taken place in the area during the summer. Councillor Ali Farron highlights that due to a lack of swimming facilities in Buncrana, the using the pier for leisure activity is essential for local communities. Councillor Farron adds he would not like to see similar measures introduced into his MD.
When the tide comes in at Malin Head, and this is only one place, I'm sure it's the same in Kildare, you have an influx of children and teenagers that come, and, you know, it's free. Like, we don't have a swimming pool, as we all know, in Inishowen, so here is a pastime that's 100% free, relatively safe, if people use a bit of cop on. So, yeah, I want to see this continue, because it's something I did, and it's something I want my grandchildren to be able to do in years to come.
The PSNI's chief constable says he hopes the conviction of Jeffrey Donaldson gives other victims of sexual abuse the courage to come forward. The former DUP leader will be sentenced later this year after being convicted of a total of 18 historic sex offences against two victims. Chief Constable John Boucher has been speaking about the policing board.
This conviction demonstrates to victims everywhere that no one is above the law. No matter an abuser's public profile or role, we will investigate matters sympathetically and professionally. I hope others who've suffered any abuse by anyone will have the confidence to come forward. I appeal to you directly to do so.
The Dáil's been told that the government is engaging intensively with Éireann Róid Éireann and the contractor involved with a €50 million failed rail project. It follows Irish Rail's recommendation the traffic management system is terminated due to delays in its delivery. The Sinn Féin finance spokesperson has hit out at the waste and says there must be accountability. Donegal Deputy Piers Doherty says taxpayers are footing the bill of something they may never see.
But incredibly, the waste doesn't end there, would you? We now learn that taxpayers are footing the bill of €100,000 every single week while a decision is made on whether the contract should even be terminated. And on top of that, the government's now spending a further €200,000 simply to find out how this debacle happened in the first place. And the public are rightly asking Taoiseach Dé, when does the waste of public money stop under your government?
Well, Taoiseach Simon Harris says the Transport Minister has met with those involved.
There's now been a re-baselined programme agreed between Irish Rail, the National Transport Authority and the contractor Indra, and quite rightly in Iraq this committee scrutinised this issue.
The exchange ended in heated scenes in the Dáil, with the Ceann Comhairle repeatedly calling for order. The Taoiseach accused Piers Doherty of trying to create social media clips, while Deputy Doherty asked Simon Harris if he had practised his responses in the mirror last night. Order was eventually restored following the fiery back and forth. The time now is 42 minutes past five, excuse me, and we'll have Mark Gallagher with all the latest in sport after this short break. It's 6:15 here at Highland Radio, and Mark Gallagher's at the sports desk.
Thanks, Donna Marie. Good evening. We'll start with soccer. Filipino businessman and former footballer Freddy Gonzalez has outlined his plans and visions for FinHarps should his proposed takeover bid go through. Gonzalez's potential investment into the Balbafay club will be voted on by members at a special meeting this coming Sunday. The Filipino has been speaking to Highland Radio's Chris Ashmore ahead of that meeting and says he has plans to take Harps to the top of Irish football and beyond.
It's really to get to that point where we're up there in Ireland. We're always competing for the title and for European spots. And when we get to Europe, it's not just to be in Europe and then, you know, go through the qualifiers and then that's it and be happy there. It's about actually getting into the tournaments and actually competing against, you know, all these clubs, whether it's in the Champions League, Europa League, Conference League, wherever we end up. It's about getting to that point where the expectations and standards of FinHarps are we want to win the league. We want to be in Europe and compete. So that's really my goal and my vision for the club.
And we'll delve more into the proposed takeover at FinHarps on this evening's Score programme. There's more from the potential investor Freddy Gonzalez, while Anthony Gorman will preview this week's games for FinHarps and Derry City in the SSE Airtricity League. We'll also hear from headliner Danny Duffy ahead of this Saturday's Fight Night at the Valley 2 event in the Twin Towns. And Paul O'Donnell will join us to talk all things American football as a big weekend beckons for the Northwest Vipers. That's all coming up on the Score between 7 and 8 this evening. Moving on to soccer, there's more round of 32 action at the World Cup this evening. 2010 winners Spain face Austria in Los Angeles from 8 o'clock. And Toronto is the setting for Portugal's meeting with Croatia underway at midnight. Tottenham have confirmed the signing of West Ham midfielder Matheus Fernandes for €100 million. The 21-year-old joins on a six-year deal following West Ham's relegation from the Premier League. Spurs could well break their transfer record again later today. Sandro Tonali is expected in North London this afternoon for a medical ahead of a potential move from Newcastle. In golf, John Rahm has been announced as part of the field for the Irish Open at Dunbeg. The two-time major winner must play in five events in 2026 in order to stay eligible for the Ryder Cup, which takes place at Adair Manor in Limerick next year. Rahm has previously won the Irish Open in 2017 and 2019. Well, Patrick Harrington has begun his bid for a third title in 5 years at the US Senior Open in Ohio this evening. A short time ago, the Dubliner was one over through 11 holes of his first round. In Gaelic games, the Donegal County Board will meet with Jim McGuinness for the end-of-season review in the coming weeks. Donegal's season came to a disappointing end at the hands of Dublin in round three of the All-Ireland Series. Headed up by chairperson Mary Coughlin, the review committee are expected to also get a feel on the direction for 2027. The committee are also expected to meet with the managers of the other county sides, including senior hurling boss Mickey McCann. There's a big game in Division 1 of the Donegal All-County Football League this evening. Gidor, who are chasing much-needed points at the bottom of the table, take on Neve Connell at Davy Brennan Park. Throw-in is at 8 o'clock. And Shane O'Donnell has announced his retirement from inter-county hurling at the end of the season. The 2024 Hurler of the Year won two All-Irelands with Clare. He could play in his final game for his county this weekend as Clare face Limerick in the All-Ireland semi-final. And O'Donnell says the time is right to hang up the boots.
Look, I think the time has kind of come. It's never going to be as cut as dry as, yeah, definitely going to be. I have to finish, it's never going to be like that, but yeah, I think the balance has kind of tipped over to just it being the right time to move on after this year.
In rugby, the Ireland under-20s were defeated by Argentina in the second group stage game of the under-20s World Championship. Argentina won 62-40 in Georgia this afternoon. Andy Farrell has named his team for Saturday's Nations Championship clash against Australia in Sydney. Sam Prendergast, who was dropped for the final three games of this year's Six Nations campaign, will start at out half. Hugo Keenan returns at fullback after not playing for Ireland since the Six Nations in 2025. That game gets underway at 10 past 11 in the morning Irish time on Saturday. In cricket, the North West Warriors are back in action at the Interprovincial One Day Cup. They're facing the Northern Knights at Stormont. The Warriors batted first and set a target of 240 for 9. A short time ago, the Knights were at 120 for the loss of 3 in their chase. And finally, in tennis, men's 5th seed Alex de Minaur and 6th seed Taylor Fritz are both through to the third round at Wimbledon, and defending women's champion Iga Swiatek won in straight sets against Karolina Pliskova on centre court earlier. That's all your sports news for this evening, but don't forget to tune into The Score at 7.05, where we'll hear the full interview with potential Finn Harps investor Freddie Gonzalez, plus lots more. Donna Marie.
Thanks, Mark. Looking now to weather, cloudy but generally dry apart from the odd bit of light patchy drizzle. Lowest temperatures of 9 to 13 degrees with light westerly breezes. To conclude this evening's bulletin, a look back at today's main stories. An appeal has been lodged in the case of a man jailed for the murder of Donegal woman Danielle McLaughlin in India. Danielle was just 28 when she was killed and raped while travelling in Goa in March of 2017. Her family spent years fighting for justice following her death. HICWA has published a report today following a comprehensive investigation of Amaze Ireland, the parent company of 24 nursing homes across the country. Two of the centres under its umbrella were the subject of an RTE Investigates programme, which depicted unacceptable care practices in two of those nursing homes. A HICWA inspection now undertook risk-based inspections of both those nursing homes and also undertook a targeted programme of inspections of all the other nursing homes under the Amaze umbrella, three of them in Donegal. The HSE says rising medical interventions during pregnancy and childbirth reflect a changing profile among expectant mothers. It comes as almost half of first-time births at Letterkenny University Hospital were induced. And finally, a man arrested in connection with the murder of Marion Beattie in the north has been released on bail. The 18-year-old's body was found at the bottom of a quarry near Auchnacloy in County Tyrone in March 1973, hours after she went to a charity dance nearby. Police arrested a man this morning, but he's now been released to allow for further inquiries. That's all for now from the newsroom. Back with news again at 7 o'clock. Chris Ashmore's up next with farming news and views after the obituary notices.
The obituary notices this Thursday evening, July the 2nd. The death has occurred of John McCarran, 12, St Union's Terrace, Raphoe. John will repose in his late residence tomorrow from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. The funeral cortege will leave his home on Saturday morning at 10:30 a.m, proceeding to St Union's Church, Raphoe, for 11 a.m. Requiem Mass, followed by private cremation for family only, please. The funeral Mass may be viewed online via the parish webcam. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to Donegal Hospice, care of any family member, or Kelly's Funeral Directors, Oakfield, Raphoe. The death has occurred of Chris Johnson, Ballynahona, Kilkenny, Mallon. Chris's remains will repose at his home tomorrow from 2 p.m. until 9 p.m. with a one-way system in operation. Funeral from there on Saturday at 10:20 a.m. for 11 a.m. Requiem Mass in St Patrick's Church, Auchaclay, followed by burial in Lag Cemetery. Requiem Mass can be viewed live on Eamon McLaughlin Funeral Director's Facebook page. Family time on the morning of the funeral, please. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to the Irish Steam Preservation Society, care of any family member or Eamon McLaughlin Funeral Director. The death has occurred of Mary Kelly, Garvan, Clohan. Mary will repose in her home in Garvan until 9 p.m. today and from 12 noon until 9 p.m. tomorrow. Rosary at 9 p.m. nightly. Removal from her home on Saturday at 12:15 p.m. for Requiem Mass at 1 p.m. in the Church of Our Lady of Perpetual Succour, Glenfinn, with burial afterwards in Kiltavogue Cemetery. The funeral Mass can be viewed on the parish webcam. The death has occurred of Elizabeth Lily Coyle, Tully Connell, Kindrum, Fanid. Her remains will repose in her late residence in Tully Connell, Kindrum, Fanid from 6 p.m. this evening. Rosary each night at 9 p.m. Removal from there on Saturday at 10:30 a.m. going to St Mary's Church, Fanavolte, for funeral Mass at 11 a.m. Funeral Mass can be viewed on Scott Funeral Director's Facebook page. Donations, if desired, to Tammany Comfort Fund, care of any family member or Scott Funeral Directors. The death has occurred of Noreen Gallagher, Downings. Remains reposing at her late uncle Dan Logue's residence in Downings. Funeral leaving there on Saturday morning, going to the Church of St John the Baptist for Requiem Mass at 11 a.m, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Family time from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. The death has taken place of Charles Stewart, Bogside, Kill, Dunfanaghy, reposing at his home until 10 o'clock this evening. Funeral service in Holy Trinity Church, Hornhead Road, Dunfanaghy, tomorrow afternoon at 2 p.m. Burial afterwards in Clondahorkie Cemetery. Family time before the funeral tomorrow. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to Holy Trinity Church, Dunfanaghy, care of any family member or James Harkin Funeral Director. The death has taken place of Eilish McGranahan, née McGee, formerly of Emmett Park, Grahamsland, Castle Finn. Her remains are reposing at her son John Patrick and daughter-in-law Mairead's home at Meadowview Town Park's Convoy until 10 o'clock this evening. Removal from there tomorrow at 11:15 a.m, going to St Mary's Church, Castle Finn, for funeral Mass at 12 noon, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, donations in lieu, if desired, to Brinley Manor Nursing Home Patient Comfort Fund, care of any family member or Terence McClintock Funeral Director. The death has occurred of Malachy Boyle, Kilclooney, reposing at Shovlin's Funeral Home, Ardra, until 8 o'clock this evening, followed by removal to his late residence in Kilclooney. Requiem Mass in St Conal's Church, Kilclooney, at 12 noon tomorrow, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time on the morning of the funeral, please. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com. Highland.
Farming News and Views is brought to you by K&F Superwools Kilmacrenan. Paying top prices for wool and offering cash on collection. Call 086 809 5820.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to another edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio with me, Chris Ashmore. New analysis from Teagasc shows a big disparity when it comes to net margins for suckler farms. Some are clearly doing better than others. Well, Darren Carty is Sheep and Schemes Editor with the Irish Farmers Journal, and he's joined me on the line to delve a little more into the findings. Darren, first of all, what was the analysis based on and what were the standout findings?
Yes, so this is some analysis Teagasc have done as part of, I suppose, their, say, match sample of production figures and performance figures that they have for recent years. So they looked at the 2024 and 2025, say, production system performance. And what they showed is that a well-run suckler-to-beef enterprise has the potential, going with, say, 2025 prices, to return a net margin per hectare of 1,580 euros. Now, some of your listeners, Chris, and even myself sometimes, when you talk about figures per hectare, it sometimes doesn't mean a lot to farmers maybe that have a smaller herd size of that. So for the first time, I think this is the first time the analysis was done this way, Teagasc also presented that on a per cow basis. So what they, if you broke it down to a per cow basis, a well-run operation could deliver a net margin of up to 800 euros or slightly higher per cow-calf unit. And that's, again, based on 2025, say, prices. Now, we know how good 2025, I suppose, maybe was. So, obviously, for 2026, that'll be back a bit. But positively for a lot of your listeners who are weaning producers as well is that weaning prices haven't come back to the same extent as beef prices, so there should be still be good potential in 2026 to return a positive margin.
So that is encouraging. What was there a regional breakdown and a comparison of figures? Obviously, some people were doing better than others.
Yes. So, and this to me was, I suppose, the biggest message I took from it is that that say figure there was the top third of say farms that Teagasc have figures on. If you went to the bottom third of farms for 2025, that was 520 euros. And if we go back, say, to 2024 figures, the top third of farms will be making about 550 euros, and the bottom third were actually at a loss-making situation in 2024, where it was minus 220 euros per hectare. And even with the increase in beef price from 2024 to 2025, your top performing farms in 24 would have still been above your bottom performing farms in 2025. And I think the real message from that is just, and Teagasc really were trying to drive this home, is the importance of having an efficient system, and in particular, a cow that's working for you. That, say, they were really making the point that there's no real room for passengers, maybe cows being kept from one year to another, not having a calf every year, not, I suppose, maybe having enough milk to rear a heavy calf, and just maybe genetics, fertility and quality being poor. They were the real, I suppose, maybe the standout, I suppose, differences between the top performing farms and the lower performing farms. And if we look at, say, the Weanland, said they did some analysis on, say, Weanland-only farms, and the net margin per cow, say, across the average for a Weanland producer was 674 euros. And if you went to the top 25% of Weanland prices, you would have been above 800 euros ahead again. So a significant difference there. And I just talked there, I suppose, maybe about the difference in Weanland prices, that they did some sensitivity analysis, and they looked at, if the price of weanlings came back 50 cents, that had a massive impact on the amount of money that could be made, and that was a difference of 250 euros ahead. And that's where we're talking about this year, Chris. The weanling prices are at least back, I suppose, maybe 50 cents, even more in cases, unfortunately. The beef price, if there was a 50 cent difference for, say, systems that brought it from suckling right through to beef, you were looking at this on a 16-month bull beef system, it was 300 euros a head less. On a 20-month steer system, it was 245 euros a head. And we've seen beef prices are running a euro a kilo lower. So that is taken, I suppose, maybe about 500 euros out of that, I suppose, positive figures. Now, the figures are still in the green, Chris, but unfortunately, there has been a significant number of farmers that have been caught in the crossfire from the end of 2025 to finishing cattle of late. And I know that's something you've covered on your show recently as well, is the, I suppose, the challenges that beef finishers have faced.
And tell me, Darren, will this analysis, will it refocus the efforts of Chagas or indeed many farmers to adapt and to try and improve efficiencies?
I think it will. I think, and I think farmers have seen maybe that as well in the last, I suppose, maybe 2 or 3 years, that there has been a real refocus on, I think, quality and genetics. And we're seeing that as we're seeing a higher demand for good quality heifers to put in calf. And a lot of, I suppose, maybe the calf quality is coming down to correct sire choice, correct dam choice, and I think there has been a refocus on that. One of the other big, I suppose, maybe messages that Chagas were pushing on the day, and which is a more challenging one for farmers to adopt, was around 24-month calving. So calf and first-time heifers are 24 months of age, and they were saying that there is significant benefits to increase the farm's overall performance by doing that, but that can also be challenging as well, Chris, depending on herd size, depending on land type, and also depending on the type of stock. But the secret, what they were saying to, I suppose, maybe successfully carry out that, was to have to be hitting weight targets and having your heifer calving down at a heavy enough, say, weight, and then also giving her priority in that first season to be able to get her back in calf.
Finally, Darren, just while we have you on, you've got your pulse on things around the country. Any feedback on the eventual removal of that cut in the excise duties? What have you been hearing on the ground?
Yeah, sure. Even at Grange, there was a bit more positivity around the Chris. I suppose it gives a bit more reprieve for a bit longer. Like we've seen the price of diesel and petrol drop at the pumps, thankfully. But it would have left farmers in a busy season and a lot of silage still to be cut. It would have left them in a really challenging position if you've seen another 25, 30 cent go back on the price of it. So it's at least a reprieve for now. It pushes the challenge down the road a bit further, but at least it's not as imminent as what it was.
And that was Darren Carty, Sheep and Schemes Editor with the Irish Farmers Journal. In other news this week, research shows that more than half of children under 12, in fact 56% in the country, have never seen a cow being milked. While responding to this, the National Dairy Council School Farm Visit Series is aiming to help children in the country to understand where their dairy products come from. Emma Walls, the Chief Executive of the National Dairy Council, has stressed that while this lack of knowledge is worrying in itself, it also makes school children more vulnerable to misinformation about farming that they could be exposed to on social media. The agricultural show season is now getting into full swing, so just a few dates for your diary of shows that are coming up in the coming weeks and months here in the Northwest. This Friday and Saturday sees the OMA Agricultural Show. Then on Saturday, July the 11th, we have the Inishowen Agricultural Show in Carndonagh. The Limavady Agricultural Show is on Saturday, July the 18th. And the Clogher Valley Show in Tyrone is on Wednesday, July the 29th. The Glencolumbkill Agricultural Show is on Sunday, August the 2nd, and also on Monday, August the 3rd. And Monday, August the 3rd is the date as well for the Menacross Show outside Dunloe, which traditionally follows the day after the crowning of the Mary from Dunloe. This year's Clonmany Agricultural Show will be on Tuesday the 4th of August and Wednesday the 5th of August, while the Ardra Show is on Saturday, August the 8th, and the Ballyshannon Agricultural Show on Sunday, August the 16th. So much to look forward to. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for tuning in. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.